Happy New Year! Well, a new church year anyway. We are now in Advent, and throughout this season of waiting this year, we will be focusing on God's invitation in Jesus and how we can be both recipients and participants in it. Over the next few weeks, we will be preparing a table, much as you would at your home. You will notice the table linens that are already set aside, ready to go on the table, serving as an invitation to what is coming. Each week, this space will grow and develop as we set our Advent table for the celebration of Christmas. And today is all about hope and invitations, or more accurately, an invitation to hope. We have lit the candle. I don't know why this is feeding back on me. I'm doing everything I know to do to move it away, guys. Anyway, we have lit the candle. Now it feels like it's not there at all. Oh, well. We have lit the candle of hope, reminding us as we begin with hope. Some years are better than others for this. If we think back in history and just our own country's history, I wonder what it was like to observe Advent during the Great Depression, or right after Pearl Harbor, as we began to send troops to war, or for those who continued to suffer daily under the oppression of slavery and Jim Crow. What did it take for them to light that candle of hope? You know, the world of Jeremiah was not a hopeful one. The northern kingdom of Israel had been taken over by the Assyrians, and the southern kingdom where Jeremiah lived was under the threat of a Babylonian takeover and exile. And this is what Jeremiah spoke about in those first 29 chapters. Destruction and desolation of the nation, including the temple where God's presence dwelt for them. This was a time of fear and anxiety about what was ahead of them. And if one listened to Jeremiah, it did not sound good, which explains why King Zedekiah locks him up in hopes of shutting him up. But from within the walls of his prison, Jeremiah receives a word from the Lord and issues an invitation. Yes, we are in the midst of great threats of devastation and destruction. Our lives are about to be in upheaval, but it does not mean God has forsaken us. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. There is a covenant promise that God made to the people that has not been forgotten. And God invites them not to forget about it either. The present age will pass, and a new day will come. Now, this must have been hard for the people to believe, because it's hard to hear these kinds of words of hope when you're in the middle of the crisis, when the pain is great, or the fear is overwhelming, or the grief is about to swallow you up. If I had a nickel for every time someone said to me, "Pastor, this year I'm just not feeling it. The Christmas spirit. I just can't get into it." Often they're going through great pain of facing a tremendous loss, or just waiting for something to be over and not knowing when it will end. And that's much of where we kind of were 3 years ago, if you'll remember, in the midst of the pandemic. Families couldn't be together at this time of year. We couldn't worship in person together. And we didn't know how long it would be this way. I'm not sure what we would have said to Jeremiah if he had come and issued an invitation to hope in God 3 years ago, that there will be a day when we will be together again. And if the people of Judah lived this way, well, they did live this way, not just for a couple of years as we did, but for generations. Imagine that. Now, we live in a world of so many messages that tell us it's all over. We're going down the slide, demonizing people, creating divisions. We hear people speaking about it, how it has never been this bad, to which I want to say, have you read history? As a history major, I can tell you, it has been this bad and worse. And how we're doomed. Even within the church, there are experts predicting the demise of the church, or at least its slow and painful slide into irrelevancy. In our personal lives, we may be facing the loss of a job, or the struggle in a marriage, or a health crisis that's causing us to face our own mortality. We may be facing our first or yet another season without someone we love. Things that can cause us to wonder, why bother? Like the people of Judah, we have a decision to make. To whom will we listen? Whose message will make its way into our hearts and our lives? The words of hate and judgment and division, the words of apathy or despair, or the message from a God who is faithful and fulfills promises? This is an invitation with a promise, but also an instruction. You will need to wait for the fulfillment of this promise. It will come in God's own time and according to God's own purposes, because God is God and we are not. So we're left waiting. As people who grow impatient at the grocery store checkout line or in traffic, we really aren't very good with waiting. And we really learned how bad we are at waiting during the pandemic. Perhaps that's why Jesus gives us something to do while we're waiting. For see, Jesus issues a similar invitation in the passage Denise read this morning, although it's a little harder to find with all the people fainting in fear in that text. He invites us to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near. We're invited to be actively alert by living lives of faith and hope rather than cowering in fear. Both Jeremiah and Jesus are speaking to people who are suffering greatly and have been for a very long time. And they know that, which is why their words have such authority for us. For they are living a reality that isn't all sunshine and rainbows and unicorns, where they can be told just to cheer up and everything will be all fine. It'll all be okay, because it's not. There's nothing trite or shallow about Jeremiah or Jesus' words here. They come from the God who has journeyed with these people through decades of wandering or generations of occupation and oppression, and who continues to dwell among them, and who continues to dwell among us even now, even when we're not feeling it this year. For the message of Advent and Christmas is a message spoken for a world that is not feeling it. Oh, we have our moments, our glimpses of how it might be when the kingdom comes in all its fullness, when the day of redemption finally arrives, but they're glimpses. But it is those glimpses that can cause us to hold on to hope. There is a story that comes out of Hurricane Sandy back in 2012. If you remember, it wreaked havoc on the East Coast. The story is about a man in a devastated area of New York, and houses everywhere around this man's house had been smashed by water, trees, wind, both, all those things. And this man's own house had been split in two by a falling 30-foot pine tree. But as the cleanup crews broke down that tree to remove it, the man saved the top 7 feet of it and planted it upright in his yard as a kind of pre-Christmas Christmas tree, as a symbol of hope. He found a few surviving ornaments. Soon neighbors added symbols of the storm itself, surgical masks and battered coffee cups and such. It was a sign of resilience, a sign of hope and of a desire to rebuild in the midst of the devastation. It was light in their darkness. Yesterday, I received a very special invitation, one that few outside the world of the guardians of the children receive. I was invited to be present when two small children were adopted by the guardians. Yeah, it happened before the Christmas party, before all the other families arrived. It was a brother and sister, 5 and 3 years old each, and they were being adopted into this strong circle of love and support. I was the odd man out because they all had black leather on, and I had a pale pink sweater. But I was honored to be there. And each member knelt down and introduced themselves to the children because they each have a biker name. Each child receives a biker's vest with their special biker name on it, partially so that way their names are protected. They were given special teddy bears to hold tight to when times were hard or scary. They were introduced to the two people who are their contacts when anything goes wrong. And in the midst of the fear, these special people were bringing love and hope to these children and to their mother. It was truly a holy ground moment. It was a privilege to be present for it. The presence of God was there as surely as it is here this morning. Destitution, trauma, tragedy, sorrow, these do not define us as God's people because they do not have the last word. God's purposes will not be thwarted by anything that the world hands out. And so we light this candle of hope no matter what is happening in our world, no matter what our lives are like right now, whether they're great or not so great, because we trust our faithful God to fulfill the promises made in Jesus Christ. We are answering his invitation to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption is drawing near. Amen.